Now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. Is brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We have with us in-house, so in-house. To speak. Came in. Man, he heard about all them food and drink specials.
He smelled the food.
Yeah. He sniffed that out. Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Appreciate you stopping on by. First of all, before we talk about LSU, South Alabama, your reaction to Ole Miss, Kentucky.
I'm stunned. I am absolutely stunned. And I was thinking Ole Miss would be undefeated coming into Tiger Stadium 2 weeks from now. But this is what...
Yep.
When you look at their schedule coming into this game, playing Furman, Georgia Southern, and I know they had a game against Wake Forest, but that's the risk you take when you start playing all these powder puffs early on, and then when you finally get tested, how do you overcome that? Like, for instance, LSU, they got tested against USC.
Yep. Twice.
Two weeks later against South Carolina. Okay, they've already been in this pressure pack situation. They were able to prevail. And this is my argument on why playing a tough team in the season opener benefits your team, because it makes you better the next time you're in that situation. This is Ole Miss has been just calling their score. They've been playing, you know, junior high teams here so far this season. And now they finally get tested. And for Kentucky, I think this has got to be the biggest win of the Mark Stoops era, right? I don't recall them ever beating a top 10 team before.
I don't, but it looks good on paper right now, baby. I like it.
Man, if I'm Mark, I'm going to say, you know, I know y'all paid me a little bit more money last year. I was going to A&M. Hey, let's take another look at that contract.
That's right.
But how about the improvement for Kentucky to play as bad as they did against South Carolina?
Exactly. 100%.
Nearly beating Georgia and then going on the road and beating Ole Miss.
And this
very
be
impressive.
A stepping stone for the season to come for Kentucky, right?
Yeah, it could be. And now for Ole Miss, now with the 12-team playoff, at least you still got a shot, right? I mean, Ole Miss can still run the table, but this is a punch to the gut for Ole Miss fans.
Yes. Jeff, I think all of us, we've been doing this long enough, understand that with certain teams, they progress throughout the year.
Right.
You see that improvement with them. And I think just the society we live in, it's an overreaction if you don't play well in a game. And then, oh, this team is so bad. And then all of a sudden it starts to make that turn. And they ain't going to have a lot of teams in college football at the end of the year that got that zero at the end.
No,
not this year for sure.
No, I mean, especially with whoever wins this Alabama-Georgia game tonight, the winner is probably going to suffer a loss somewhere down the road.
They will.
Somewhere down the road, they'll suffer a lot. The only team that might have zero at the end is Texas until they get to the SEC championship.
I was going to say that. They may have one there.
Until they get there.
Well, you just never know. And that's why I like what LSU's done so far. Like you said, it's the competition that they've played. And, you know, they could have very well beat USC in the first game of the season. They turn around and they play USC again, basically South Carolina.
Yeah, right.
In a hostile environment, they come out on top of that game. Every other game that they played was a difficult game that we thought they should have blown somebody out. Yeah. But they didn't. So you have to, you know, eke wins out, and you have to be consistent in churning every play after play after play, even when you make a bad play, turn around and make a good play, to be able to win against a UCLA 34-17.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, to me, that's impressive.
What did Ole Miss learn when they beat Furman 70 whatever it was to nothing? Nothing.
They learned Furman was not up to par, right?
You learned that Furman wasn't real good.
That's exactly it.
When you beat Georgia Southern 52-14, what are you learning? Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's the thing, at least for Brian Kelly, after that first game, okay, I know exactly what's going on here.
That's right.
And they were able to start addressing it. And I think that's why you're starting to see so many more freshmen playing on this team, because they realize, okay, the guys that we decided to go this season with, let's bring in some freshmen here, because the guys that we have are – It's not going to cut it.
They're not cutting the mustard, as you say. Yes. And I don't like mustard. I can tell you that right now. I'm not a mustard guy. Now I'm a honey mustard guy, but not like a mustard on the sandwich
Herb.
Guy. I'm a chicken wing with some honey mustard. I'm good with that.
You and I are going to have a long talk about this food segment part of the show that we do each and every week. One of the things we saw in – this team has played like in halves defensively.
Right.
Against USC, a really good first half, fourth quarter, a fall apart. Last week against UCLA, man, they were El Lazio in the first half.
They were.
And the second half, they played well. I want to see four quarters of consistent play defensively. I know one thing. That offense is going to score points.
Yep.
With Garrett in there and their ability to throw the football, they're going to put up points, but can you piece together four quarters of consistent football? I'm not talking about stopping them every time. That's just not the way football is built today. But show some consistency in your overall play.
Yeah, and I don't know how they get there, Mike. I really don't. I wonder if it's just part of the DNA of this team.
Man, I think you're right.
I just think it's an improved group over last year because there are – the tackles behind the line of scrimmage. You're starting. UCLA. I don't know if they had any turnovers. Maybe one, right?
They did. The interception.
Yeah, the intercept. That's right. The interception by Gilbert. But they seem a little bit more opportunistic. Than this group. And now let's see without Harold Perkins how that changes. I have questions on whether it's going to really be that much of a dramatic effect. I think it's going to be certainly an effect, but I don't know how big of a loss. But I just think, especially when you look at all the freshmen that they're getting out there now with Ahmad Bro and Deshaun Spears, and then who knows if Zy Alexander can play tonight. So that might mean, you're putting in some newer players out there. I just kind of wonder if this team is going to have signs where they can go out there and they can force a three and out, or they're going to give up a 75-yard drive or a 60-yard run. I think that's just kind of what this defense is.
I think that's what's going on.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's going to happen. It's how many times do you give up the 70-yarder? How many three and outs do you force? It's going to be key. And I think when you look at it as a whole, we as fans and analysts, if you will, we want everything to be perfect. We want to go out there and score a touchdown every drive and do a three and out, and then that's it. You have 300 first downs in the game and all this other stuff, whatever. But it just doesn't happen like that.
Right.
So what's the next best thing? The next best thing is how do you – you may not be able to put four quarters together, but you at least need to – be able to put together a solid game, because you're going to give stuff up. Even Michael Jordan gave up 3 points every now and then, or he was dunked on or whatever. But it didn't matter what happened during the game. The only thing that matters is what was the final outcome.
Right.
And what I do like about this team is that they have found a way to grind things out, and they found a way to stay in the game and keep themselves there. Now, there's been times where we're like, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like football, but we ultimately know that. I think you're right. The DNA of this team is on defense is going to be, we're going to give up some points. We're going to we're going to stop them a few times, but ultimately, I think they're going to come out on top, especially against, your normal run-of-the-mill teams, right?
Especially in a game like tonight, I don't see how. I mean, I got LSU scoring 41 points, and I don't see how South Alabama can prevent LSU from not scoring five touchdowns.
Yeah. I think that's the – because we know they're going to put up points.
Yeah, right.
We know South Alabama will. With you, going back to Perkins, it's almost like the law firm of weeks and weeks because if they go to the three linebacker set, it'll be the Weeks brothers that'll be in there along with Greg Penn.
Yeah. I think you'll see a lot of that because you got a running quarterback. So I think you need to have the three linebackers out on the field. And I'm interested to see what it is. I understand what Brian Kelly is saying, that when he's out there, opposing offenses have to account for him. I thought in the South Carolina game, Kirk Herbstreit did a bunch of highlights showing how the protection would swing to his side when he was rushing and it would open up for somebody else. I get all that, but I also see a linebacker that struggles.
Yep.
Getting off blocks.
Yep.
In that South Carolina game, he misses a tackle on the first play from scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – I don't know. I don't want to say – I mean, overrated is a hard word. I don't want to say he's overrated, but I don't know if the hype is truly what it should be for Harold Perkins.
Well, I think, you know, when you go back and you look at his career, if you will, at LSU, this breakout year was his true freshman year, and no one knew who he was or what he could do.
Right.
The one thing LSU did great was just allow him to go be.
Yeah, right.
Ever since then, we've been trying to put him in a box.
Yep, right.
And we're trying to figure him out. We're trying to Rubik's cube him, right? Yeah. To me, that's not the way to – that's not what you do. Now, when you was talking about Brian Kelly, we were talking about, well, when we – you know, when he's in the game, we have to – the opposing offenses have to call plays or have a game plan that's going to direct, you know, that I guess that he can dictate to them. I don't think that's the case. I think we're taking him out of the game plan,
yeah,
so they don't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just,
yeah,
run their plays.
Yeah.
All we're going to do is put him on the outside, and he's going to cover someone,
yeah,
which in my mind, he can be, because I think 1 week he graded as the best cover linebacker in the country.
Yeah.
But they never threw the ball his way. So what the hell does it matter?
No, you know how many plays are you grading?
what did you affect in the game,
yeah,
really, truly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, don't you think maybe this is an overreaction of because of how the season ended that year as a freshman? A&M was, what? We're going to run the ball right at him.
Right.
And A-Chan, who was what, maybe 80% in that game or 75%.
He had 600 yards rushing,
man,
in that.
They're still trying to tackle it.
That's right.
I think from that moment on, there's been an overreaction to what he couldn't do.
Yeah, right.
To play the run.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I know what he can do well. He can rush the quarterback.
He can be disruptive. Yes.
Is he going to be good against the run? No. And, man, if I'm worried about the NFL, my thing is I want to win games in college.
Yes. Yeah.
Let the NFL worry about developing Harold's overall skills from one thing to the other. But I think that game, you've seen every coach sort of overreact to what he couldn't do.
Right, yeah. Do you think he's really a first-round pick? If before the injury, Mike.
No.
Yeah. Second-round pick, third-round pick.
No, I had a discussion. Mel Kiper and I, we had talked about this, and I was like, Mel, you might fall in love with his athletic skills,
yeah,
but are you going to fall in love with his production?
So that's the key. He may or may not be a first-rounder or a third-rounder or whatever rounder. There's going to be one scout, one GM,
yeah,
that's going to love.
There might be one team
that,
yeah,
loves,
maybe
what he
one
looks
team
like.
Right.
And you know, who knows? He may come back and he may just, again, light it up 1 year,
yeah,
and
right,
that's it. But he has the potential thereof. The question is, where do you put him?
Yeah, right.
Is he a safety? You know, is he some kind of nickel rusher defender?
And now in the NFL, with all these hybrid schemes,
that's right,
of,
yes,
how to use him. I know he. I think he's developed into being a good cover guy.
I think so. I think that's where one area where we'll certainly miss him.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me ask you this: so when we talk about he's developed into a good cover guy, have we seen him knock passes down, catch intercepts?
There's no passes defense this year.
That's
the,
right.
The one interception against Missouri was a game changing interception.
But he's almost glued to the guy. You know, it's almost like he's
got
Velcro to whoever he's trying to cover.
And so I'm saying that to say, you know, there's going to be a GM that's going to watch that and say, you know what, this is our guy.
Yeah.
We're going to take him in the first round. You never know who it is.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not for everybody. He's going to be a fit player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A fit for one particular team. And that's why you can't say he was a surefire first-round pick before the injury. You speculating on that. The production doesn't add to that particular deal. Is he a fit first-round pick for some teams?
Potentially.
Yes.
Yes.
That particular part, right. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
All right.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you each and every week by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. Want to thank Jeff Palermo for stopping by here at Acme Orchard before he heads on out to LSU, South Alabama, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.